All right, y'all. My name is Mason. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 15, 2015. Yes. 2015. I got a sponsor, and I do not have sponsees, so if anybody is looking for a sponsor, so. I grew up in Seattle. I was born in Philadelphia originally. All my family still lives out there, but I moved out of that. I didn't move out. My parents moved out and brought me out to Seattle when I was like 3 years old, 4 years old or so. And they were always divorced, so I never really had like both parents in the house. It was always, I was at one parent's house and then I go back to the other parent's house. And that, I think, is like where I learned a lot of manipulation skills. Rules wouldn't fly at my dad's house, that would fly at my mom's house. So if I pulled some stuff over at his house and then, or pulled some stuff over at my mom's house and tried to get away with it at my dad's, my quick go-to was like, well, mom said it was cool. Or, you know, I don't know why you're mad at me. Mom didn't get mad at me. It's like that kind of stuff. Especially when something went bad. That was real quick. Mom told me to go ahead and do that. So this is why this happened. That was a lot of like elementary school. Even in then, I remember getting sent home with like shoddy report cards. Even though they weren't even grades, they were numbers. I got straight ones across the board. I remember getting screamed at because I wasn't consistent enough in school. I wasn't paying attention, or my mind was wandering. I couldn't focus on stuff. And I mean, to this day, I mean, it's kind of true. But I work on it. Progress, not perfection, I guess. Anyways, that was all elementary school. I switched schools from one elementary school that was in my mom's house to a different one when she moved over to a different neighborhood. And had to start all over again there, but I was still going back and forth to my dad's house. So even when I wanted to get grounded at this new school, it was still pretty tough. My friends would always be trying to do stuff, and I could always tell them, yeah, I'll be able to do it this weekend, but not next weekend, and it will always happen to be next weekend. So I always felt like I was isolated because I couldn't really get a chance to, like, grow out in the new neighborhood because I always had to worry about being over at my dad's house, who was, like, 30 minutes away. Granted, it's not very far, but it's like when you have to be there, and the only reason, like, when I'm out there, the only thing he's focused on is being around me, but I'm just trying to be a kid, and that just wasn't working for him. So my dad was really strict. He was in the military. My mom wasn't. So she was laid back with a lot of stuff, and that's kind of where it played into the manipulation stuff. But he was really strict. Like, a lot of stuff whenever I went over to his house was, you got to have your room made. You got to be able, like, the, like that, what was it, quarter test or whatever it is? Like, you should be able to bounce a quarter off your bunk or whatever it is. Like, every room, like, every time I got out of bed, he'd always bark on me if my bed wasn't made or my room wasn't straight. Even though I was only over there for 2 days, it was like, you're living here. This is my house. It's going to look this way. It's like, all right. Yeah, so it was a lot of early childhood. I felt isolated during that time. I think that's what I was getting at. I felt isolated during that time because I didn't feel like I had a lot of people I could hang out with. Not to mention the neighborhood that I was in. I was one of like five or six black kids out there, so not a lot. I always felt like I was just the one face in the room, and it was tough for me to feel like I could be a part of because of that. But you know, it is what it is. Went into junior high school and still felt really isolated because I had to switch schools from the one that I was going to. I would have gone to a different junior high school that was just up the hill. All my friends that I would have been going to elementary school with were going up there, but my mom wanted to switch schools. So I said, all right, and I was against it from the jump and went to a different school. So here I was starting all over again from having to do the same thing I did in fourth grade in junior high, and it wasn't easy because a lot of people were already coming in with long-term friendships, and I didn't feel like I could connect to any of them. I was already behind with school. Teachers just kind of breezed over me. It was kind of that. Did what I could to try to pass high school, junior high school, and I did it. I made it to high school. And that's really where it picked up at, because during when I was in junior high school, I didn't do any homework at all. That same thing I was doing in junior high school kept it going through elementary school kept it going through junior high school. So when they put me in high school, they put me in, like, the class with like the kids you got to pay just extra attention to, just try to help them get through high school, I guess is what it was. But the thing that they didn't realize is we were all kind of on the same tip, like, what's going on this weekend? So that's where they definitely screwed up, is they put me in my element with people that I knew were had the same focus as me, like, screw this class, like, who's got the party this weekend? So that's really where it started. I remember going over to my friend Jesse's house, and like five or six other people from that class. They all knew each other from elementary school, but this was like where I felt like I could start getting comfortable with these people, because they invited me over to their house, and that really didn't happen a lot. So went over there, and as soon as we get out there, his dad nonetheless brought out like beers and all kinds of dry drugs. It was like, have at it, kids. It's like, so we were like, all right, cool. We started, it was, I mean, I remember it was crazy. But it was, I mean, I enjoyed myself enough to go back and try to go over there and hang out at that house again and again and again. What was it like? When I took that first drink, I remember I hated it. That was, what was it, Miller Genuine Draft. It tasted like piss. But I knocked it back and went straight to the next one because I felt myself kind of lightening up. Like, I felt my shoulders getting a little bit more loose, and I felt like I could start talking however I wanted to talk, and I didn't have to, you know, cater to whatever everybody else had on my, I had on their mind. Like, if I like this new CD that came out, guess what? You're going to hear about this new CD. Or if I like this TV show, or if I saw this movie, guess what? We're going to talk about this TV and movie show. I didn't have to try to stray away from it or cater towards whatever people wanted to listen just so they would pay attention to me. I could talk about whatever I wanted to. And because of that, I felt like I just felt accepted. It was awesome. It felt good, and it was something I wasn't used to. So, yeah, that was going. That was going for, that was all senior, not senior, but that was sophomore year. Junior year, when I was in high school, it was the same kind of thing. They bumped me into the next class. It was just like that, but they kept it going through junior high. And I think at that point, towards the end of it, they started tapering off because they realized what they did with putting us all in the same class. Like, this isn't going to work. Yeah, I just kind of got through high school. I played football and all sorts of sports and stuff like that when I was in high school. But towards the end of junior year, I was like, look, they had some senior project and I hadn't even started on it. I was like, yeah, man, this whole graduating thing isn't looking so good right now. So my friend that was my friend from junior high school was like, look, they got this class that you can take at this junior college that's up the street where you can get your high school diploma. And be able to take college classes. It was a great opportunity. I would have been set. I'd have been able to get free college and get my graduate, my diploma, not my GED, my diploma. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I went up there, I signed up for it, and I got into the class. Problem was, all the same kids. Repeat number two. And this time it went even harder because nobody was supervising us. So we had class from like 8 till 12. My mom was at work till, what was it, like 6 or 7? So she told me to take the bus home, but she ain't tell me when. So it was like, it was a lot of getting rides around. We would get beers, get drinks, get dried alcohol, and kind of go ham with it until I went home trying to be as sober as I could and hung out in my little hole of a room where I just played Xbox and watched TV. It was really easy to fake sober there. That kept on going for maybe like, I want to say 3 or 4 months until I was kind of like, you know what, I'm done. I don't really care about school right now. I'm going to go ahead and get a job where I can just make money and lie to myself and tell myself I'm going to get out of this house when it wasn't really even a possibility. So I got a job working at a trampoline place. It's like a Costco-sized warehouse. It's called Sky High. I don't even know if they got places like that out here, but it's just like a Costco-sized warehouse full of trampolines, people doing dumb stuff. And we're supposed to be responsible for watching them. And it seemed like when I started here, like, it was the exact same pattern as it was when I started in the junior high, or not high, junior high, it was when high school, college, it was the same kids, same group of kids. One guy I happened to know from high school, but it was all a bunch of same kids with the same thing focused on their mind, like, what's going on this weekend? You know, nobody's really focused on trying to, you know, pick stuff up, learn skills, pick trades up, trying to take it into the next job. Everybody just like, let's have fun. We're 19, we're 20, you know, let's go do something. And that was another, that was a real pivotal point for me too, because I think that was where I started to feel accepted genuinely, because now I had a circle of people that were all in a similar situation. Everybody was either living at home, not really going to college. This was their only job. They weren't really focused on much else other than going out on the weekend. So I was like, cool, sounds good. You know, y'all my people. that lasted for like 3 or 4 months until I started getting antsy. And mind you, this whole 3 or 4 months, it was the exact same thing every weekend. I would get paid. I would hit somebody up. We'd find out where the party was. We would go there. Something stupid would happen. Somebody would piss somebody off. And I would end up either trying to drive home drunk or finding a way home. I don't really remember a lot of that, probably for good reason. That was a lot of what 19 and 20 was. Don't get me wrong. A lot of time in there, I ended up making some really good friends. But it wasn't what I, right now I look back on it and I say that really wasn't what I should have been doing. And that's only because I'm sober today. What was that? What was that? May of like 2010, 2011 is when I stopped working there. Didn't learn any of my lessons. So the next thing I did after that was I started working retail at the mall down the street, selling women's shoes. And I felt professional. I felt professional. I walked in there. I had a suit. I had the full getup. I walked through that mall like you couldn't tell me anything. Like I was feeling real good just to go to the end of the mall and sell shoes. But like people walking past me were looking at me like, look. I was like, yeah, I was feeling good. I was feeling good when I was working at that mall, man. But it was a lot of the same stuff because I ran into another person that was all on the same kind of tip. And it was the same pattern as when I worked at that Sky High place. It was I get paid one night. I hit the person up, go over to a house, you drink, get hammered, come back to work, give it a week. I'd be broken looking for how I was going to put gas in my car and trying to figure out what went wrong this week. It was that I got drunk all week. I didn't think about that. It was that I got drunk all week. It's that phenomenon of craving, man. It hit. And I didn't recognize it. I didn't even try to think about it. It was always that, oh, I'm not eating right is why I feel tired. Oh, it's I didn't sleep enough. Oh, I bought some new game and that's why I'm broke. Not because I'd spent $80 on two bottles over the past two days and don't have any money to show for it. Not even a really a good time, because all we did was sit there and drink and bullshit. Like, what? It was a waste of time, waste of money, and a waste of energy, but I felt like it was what I needed, and I enjoyed it. At least I told myself I enjoyed it. But looking back on it now, like I said, it's just because of sobriety is I'm able to look at that situation and say, like, look, that wasn't what I should have been doing. Anyways, I got out of there, and towards the end of 2012 or something like that, thinking out, okay, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to start focusing on myself. I'm going to start getting my shit together. And this time I meant it. Like, I remember I was journaling during this time, and I was writing it down. I was like, look, today's the 3rd, and I started class on the 4th. I remember being up at 7 o'clock. Like, I didn't sleep all night because I was so nervous about starting this class. And I was so focused on doing well because I had all this stuff to look back and regret on, but now I had an opportunity to try to do this again, and I had people that were willing to pay for it. So I was like, look, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it right this time. I'm going to class. I'm doing my homework. I studied. I started exercising. Like, I had a real regimen to it, and I did well for the first quarter. Like, the first time I brought home B's, which was, like, fucking phenomenal. Like, I'm not even set on an A. Give me something above a C, and I'm good. Like, but then the second quarter came around and I started getting restless. I started getting bored. I was like, dude, this shit's not working, man. Like, I'm not feeling this. Like, I would get myself to class, but I'd be like 5-10 minutes late. Not to mention I was driving up like 30 minutes north with a bottle every night to go kick it with some girl. And then wonder why I didn't have any homework finished up or why I wasn't taking any good notes or focusing on any of the stuff in class. Like, it was swirling down the drain and nothing was working. And that's why. So that lasted for another quarter until what happened there? I think I dropped out after that and then decided to start working at a restaurant because I told myself, this is what I'm going to do. forget school. I'm gonna be a chef. I'm gonna be like Gordon Ramsay. I'm gonna make my own restaurant. I'm gonna do A, B, C, and D. I'm gonna own the city kind of thing. All while I was sitting in a bar and somebody told me they can get me a job working in a restaurant. I hadn't had that before. So that's, I think, when I started working at the restaurant, that's where things really, really picked up. Like, because now, like, again, I'm following the same pattern. I'm hanging around people where I just want to drink, and they're all on the same tip. And we had the means to do so. We're literally in a bar. And then across the street, there was another bar that would stay open until, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. And we would shut that down nightly. I mean nightly. Like, even if you weren't working, we can count. Like, Mason's going to be here 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, if you got to talk to him, that'll be where you'll find him. Like, it wasn't tough to find me in that place. Like, I remember doing dumb stuff, like just running through there. I even remember when I moved out of that city, I would drive back across an hour, 45 minutes to that bridge, or 45 minutes to that bar, because I knew of the bartender and I knew that they might give me a free shot. Like, I was consistently going back over there because I knew that I would get hookups on alcohol. Not because I could go down the street and do it, just because I knew I could drink cheap here and not have to worry about shit. Drinking, it was never like a buzz. It was always like, I found this out like even a couple days ago. Like, it's not normal to make a goal of forgetting the night. Like, I drink to black out. Like, I don't want to, who the fuck drinks for a buzz? Like, that's just whack. Like, it seemed boring. It's just like, why? You know, you're there. The alcohol's here. This is what it does. You don't want it, I don't know how to explain it other than that, but it's like, anyways, I was still working at that restaurant, still doing that all the time, and then it picked up to where I started working at a school. I had an opportunity to really have like a steady job working in a cafeteria. Granted, it was still restaurant work, but I had benefits there and I felt like I was set. But it just opened up the opportunity for me to drink more. Anyways, did that for another year. Decided after that I was gonna stop doing that, just go back to school and pick all that stuff up again, and that lasted for maybe 3 months until things just started getting too stressful and life just piled up on me. And next thing I know, I'm getting hauled away from my house in handcuffs because SWAT had to drag me out of my house because I didn't want to come out of the house. Dumbest reason ever. Dumbest reason ever. But, you know, hey, it's what happened. And I got dragged out of the house, put in, suicide watch for a day, and then spent the week in a treatment center. They put me in the psych ward at first because they didn't know what to do with me. And then they put me up in like the second room, and then they moved me, and then they let me do outpatient treatment. I started coming back, and that was when I started hearing about Alcoholics Anonymous. I had no idea. I had nobody in my family that got sober. I had an uncle that died when I was younger because of alcoholism. I just figured you're an alcoholic if you're throwing up off the side of a boat. Like, that's what makes an alcoholic. I didn't know anything more about it than that. But when I moved out here to Tampa after that whole episode with the cops, part of what I needed to do was get a therapist. And when I sat down, kind of started explaining like what I was doing, why I was drinking, kind of what my goals were. I guess she heard it way before I did, clearly, because she said, "Well, there's an AA meeting down the street in 15 minutes." After like 2 months of listening to me bullshit, she was like, "You can go down there if you want to." And I didn't the first time. I didn't the second time, but. I think she even set the meeting right before that meeting started, so she could tell me, "Look, go straight here. This person's meeting you. There you go." I signed it up with my first sponsor. I remember sitting in that meeting, like, still just jacked up off emotions. I didn't know what the hell to do. Like, I remember sitting there, just like, it was something different. Like, I'd always tried to base my life on that point up until as some kind of guidance, and that was it. I looked up, I saw 12 steps, they told me what to do. I was like, all right, that works. I didn't have any other way to try to get through life. I just kept telling myself, just make it to 18, just make it to 21. And then when I made it to 21, I was like, well, fuck, what now? I was sitting in the meeting, and I didn't even hear anything in the meeting. I just remember being so just jacked up off emotions. Like, my face was all jacked up. I had ratty ass dreads. but I went outside and started talking to my sponsor, and he got me straight into the steps and knocked him out in like 3 months. But even between that 3 months and now, like, I'm still realizing there's so much that I have no idea about in this program. Like, I did those steps the first time. I did the fourth step. I did the fifth step. I did the sixth step. I did all that. But I'm going back through those steps again, and I'm still realizing, even after doing my fourth step, that there's things that are just there under the surface. I wasn't ready to be able to handle being that new sober, I guess. Or I couldn't get myself to look at it and really be like, okay, this is what's going on. I wasn't ready to start addressing that stuff, you know. And maybe I'm ready now. Maybe God's got me ready for it now. But the thing is, like, it all comes for it's there's a time and a place for everything. Like, and that's realizing that I'm putting faith in God, you know. He's gonna handle this. I'll realize it when I need to. You know, what it's like today, I mean, I ain't got $1 million. I got a Subaru that's riding. It's still driving, you know. I got a job. I got people that trust me. I got people that respect me. I got people that want to be around me. Life could be worse. It could be a lot worse. Life could be a lot fucking worse. Like, that's... As much as I tell myself my life sucks sometimes, like, shit really ain't that bad, you know. But that's only because I'm willing to keep coming back. I had to wait for it to click, and it took me a year for it to click, I guess. I hear some people it takes longer for it to click. It just took me a year to fucking, all right, that's what's going on. Now you're ready to do something about it. I just want to share this story. I remember when I was sitting like in that first year, I listened to Osa speak over at Yana. And I think I remember that day I was just like off of it. I was like, I don't know why I'm here kind of shit. And she was talking and she was like, listen, you're not an alcoholic if you haven't woken up and pissed yourself in your bed. I was like, oh, so other people do that shit too. Okay, cool. Like, I was like, all right, cool. That's all right. So now I know we're coming back. I came back next week. I was like, all right, we're good. We're good. I'm supposed to be here. You know, I mean, like I'm saying, I got a year in here, and still things. I see room for improvement. God doesn't see space for improvement. So, as much as I got to keep giving it up to Him, as tough as it is, I just gotta trust that He's got a better plan for me than I got for myself. And that's a daily practice. That's a daily practice in calling my sponsor. That's a daily practice in talking to God. That's a daily practice in reminding myself I don't have it. He does. Thine will not mine be done, because my will would not have me speaking for 30 minutes on, you know, 10 minutes before I was supposed to come down here, Mark. But, hey, what's up? Oh, man. You know, I mean, I didn't realize how, and I'm going to be real with y'all. I didn't realize how grateful I was for like the little shit that I have in my life right now until I'm standing up here trying to figure out the stuff that I'm grateful for. Like, I don't even really have to try. All this stuff just came to mind. Like, I guess life really isn't as bad as I think it is sometimes, but you know, it definitely could be worse is the one thing I can keep reminding myself of, because I could still be working at a restaurant thinking of Gordon Ramsay or some shit. Fucking, I don't know, man. What was I thinking? Yeah. And that's all I really got, so, yeah. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Mason. Can we have a round of applause for both of our speakers again tonight?